Welcome to Soul Searching, the Soul Recruitment Podcast, where we tackle all sorts of great topics in the areas of recruitment, job searching, mindset, technology, marketing, culture, and lots more. It's amazing what you'll pick up. Thanks for joining me. Welcome back, everyone. Friday afternoon, Darren Saul here, your host of Soul Searching, the Soul Recruitment Podcast. It's episode 56, and the topic for today, from recruiter to mediator and everything in between, how to play to your strengths when reinventing yourself. And I have the fantastic Paul Slezak in the house. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Darren. I'm very good. Thank you for having me as your 56th guest.
56th guest. I'm very excited, and I've known Paul for a long, long time in many different capacities. He's a fantastic guy. And he's got so much insight and gold that he's going to share in this episode. I think we're going to go for a while. So we're going to have some fun.
We will.
So for everybody who doesn't know Paul, it is the combination of his early career as a leader in global professional services firms before transitioning that success to his own company that underpins the unique perspective Paul brings to mediation. Drawing on nearly 30 years' experience scaling international businesses, negotiating multi-million dollar deals, and building and managing global teams, Paul understands the importance of human-centered intelligence to drive authenticity, transparency, and trust in any situation. Acting as an impartial voice, he's experienced in providing a psychologically safe space for individuals to express their concerns, frustrations, and perspectives, empowering them by giving them an active role in the resolution process. Beyond his mediation practice, Paul also acts as a board advisor and facilitates leadership, development, and executive coaching programs locally and internationally. So welcome again, Mr. Paul Slezak.
Thank you. Let's not talk about the 30 years plus we've known each other. Let's move
That's
on.
Right. That's right.
More hair on both of us.
Oh, indeed. Well, I mean, you know, your career is incredibly extensive and incredibly diverse. You used to be a recruiter. You've done all sorts of things. So why don't you walk us through your background a little bit, and then we'll kind of get into the nuts and bolts of it all.
Yeah, sure. And yes, recruiter started back in 1994, so it will be actually 30 years next year. But there has been a series of reinventions along the way. After about 12 years in recruitment, I did choose to start a consulting business to the recruitment industry, which is when we reconnected many, many years ago again. And that actually led to the introduction to what became my co-founding team within my own company. So I don't believe in any coincidences. My company, which was called Recruit Loop, which was still in the recruitment space, but we did things very, very differently. We had that for about 10 years and sold that just before the pandemic, so timing was okay.
Yeah.
And that was another time for reinvention. At that point, I actually thought I was going to become an academic. I enrolled and got accepted into a PhD program.
Wow.
But on day two of the program, the lecturer asked me if I could compare the epistemological and ontological references of some supposed reading I hadn't done.
Oh my God.
I said no. He said, should you be here? I said no. So reinvention again. I then thought I'll get back into the corporate world where I'm not running a business, but I'm in a big business, but realized sticking to one lane is not my thing.
Yep.
So cue another reinvention, which has led to now, which I'm sure we'll get onto, where as part of, as you've mentioned, executive coaching, leadership development, I am one of the directors in a mediation practice called Two Minds Mediation, which I'm sure we'll get to during our
definitely,
chat.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, you're a lot like me in that we like to do lots of different things. We like to express ourselves in many different ways, and that's what makes us happy. But we'll get into that a little bit later. I want to dig into that a bit more as well. Sure. But I would love to kind of pick your brain as to, you know, you obviously have had a series of light bulb moments when it's been, okay, I'm not meant to be here. I've got to do this, or I should be doing that. Do you recognize a particular time or a feeling, or do all these things coincide that give you a particular insight into the fact that, oh, now's the time, I'm going to change?
Somebody gave me a book many years ago. I can't remember the author. It was called Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow.
I like it.
And I've just remembered that phrase for many years. And when you know you love to do something, it's all good. When you stop loving it,
yep,
and you're just doing it, ticking the boxes, going through the motions, it is time to do something different. And whether it's somebody helping you realize that, the market or the world telling you that,
yep,
someone asking you a question like that lecturer where you go, not quite, or just realizing, what do you love doing? Follow it. It's not just a side hustle or a hobby. Yeah. You can make it it. And a couple of years ago, when you and I were both fast approaching 50, I read two books. One was called The Second Half of Life.
Ooh.
And or make the most out of the second half of life. And the other was called The Second Mountain, which was about the second half of a career.
I like that.
And it just reinforced again, for this half, it's all going to be about doing what you love and making that your thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be one thing. You can have, as both of us do, a portfolio career.
I love it.
You can focus on different things that you love doing.
I love it. But I suppose we have to be careful in that we have to make sure that it's financially viable to start doing these things. And do you think that people should maybe express their side hustles on the side initially before they decide to jump right in? Or, you know, how do you go about that process?
I think that depends on the person. If someone has that risk take, that entrepreneurial feel and the dedication and commitment to throw yourself all in, then yes, but you're absolutely right. In the same way that I was once told that it's okay to leave a job without another one. Well, it's not if you can't afford to do that.
That's right.
It is if you can.
Yep.
And it's the same thing. If you have a passion for something and you can throw yourself into it and it will start to make you money quickly. When we started Recruitlet many years ago, I still was consulting 3 or 4 days a week and then building a business 3 or 4 days a week, and right, it becomes an everyday experience. Now, there are weeks where I might work across the 7 days, not intensely on, but across them. And then there are some weeks where it might only be 3 or 4.
Yep.
So it balances, but you can't become the only sort of path if the money's not going to be there. Otherwise you'll panic too much, I guess. Yep.
And one thing that you're very good at is organizing yourself and organizing your time. If anybody makes an appointment with Paul, he'll email you October 21st, 2 p.m., November 16th, 3 p.m. I've got 1 hour in December. It's like, he's very, very organized.
But it's part of my meticulous, obsessive, compulsive approach. But when you do many different things and across many different time zones, which I do, that's important. I know we laugh, but I have to do it.
No, but it's great. And you know, I think that's, I always say, being organized frees you up to creativity, frees you up to being innovative. If you're a mess, you're just mentally expending all this energy that is just wasting all your time.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I think organization is very important here as well, particularly as you do more things. But so let's chat about mediation. Why mediation now? After all these different career changes, why mediation?
Yeah, it's funny. A couple of people have said that since we started our business here. And when I say our, I'm very lucky to have a business partner, Alan Hedges, who actually was my chief operating officer in Recruitloop. So there are no coincidences how things happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But mediation is all about facilitating dialogue. It's about reaching mutual beneficial resolution. It's about active and deep listening and encouraging very clear communication, which I've actually been doing for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
If you're talking to a client and a candidate, if I'm coaching a CEO or a founder, it's all about that. It's listen, communicate, suppress the urge to speak, just listen to what somebody else is saying. But from personal experience, I've been in conflict with founders. As a CEO, I've been in conflict with shareholders and investors. As a manager and a business owner, I've managed conflict within the business. So that's from a workplace conflict standpoint. But we also look at personal conflict, whether it be personal injury, it could be disputes between neighbors, it could be wills and estates. But conflict is everywhere.
Yeah.
And it takes a sort of personality to be able to calmly and methodically help people through that. And even without a formal accreditation, I've been mediating for a very, very long time. I now have the formal accreditation, so it allows me to say, yes, I am a mediator. But to sit down with people is something I've done since I was 20-something.
Yeah.
To have people around a table coming to an outcome that's a win-win for both parties is something I've been doing for decades.
Yeah.
And it now has a title, mediation.
That's right. And you've also loved coaching people and mentoring people all through your career.
Yes.
You've done this in many different capacities.
Yeah. And when you're coaching people, it's often because they are having a conflict.
Yep.
And so that's working with one side of the conflict. And in the mediation, or part of the process, is you have both parties in front of you. Then you can move them into separate individual discussion. Then you bring them back for more consultation to come to some form of an agreement. But it's purely facilitating that dialogue.
Yeah.
And I've always called myself a facilitator. Even if I was a CEO, a recruiter, a general manager, I've always been underneath a facilitator.
Yeah. And what do you think are the, two or three key traits that a mediator must have? Like listening and empathy would be definitely number one.
Yeah. Deep listening, or active listening, or profound listening, as some people even say. To encourage dialogue, which is not two monologues happening, but it's actually a conversation.
Yeah.
And it's that calm, considered, impartial
yep.
demeanor. You are not taking sides
right.
in a yep. mediation.
So important.
Purely impartial.
Yep. Because at the end of the day, you're dealing with human beings and emotions, and being able to understand and take the temperature of the environment around you is so important.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you'd know that from recruiting as well. You're
definitely
dealing with people on all sides, client, candidate,
yep. family,
you, yep. candidates, families.
That's right. Yeah.
Everybody.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Are you going to be specializing, or do you prefer to specialize in any particular area of mediation?
So myself, I will focus primarily on the workplace conflict. So whether it is the founders, the shareholders, the conflict between departments or divisions internally, boards with CEO, as a business, we and Alan will focus definitely on personal injury, construction, wills and estates, etc. So we are not a specialist. We don't sit in a silo. We are a generalist mediation practice. We won't deal with family breakdown and custody disputes. That's a specific area we've chosen not to touch. But the other stuff, absolutely, from workplace through to personal conflict.
Okay, fantastic. Now, in terms of your career in general, if you talk to someone at a party or you talk to someone at a networking event and they say, "What do you do, Paul?" How do you answer that?
So I used to actually worry about that question, and I'd actually have a bit of a panic.
Yeah.
Because I thought, from the experience I've had telling candidates, you've got to have your unique selling proposition, you've got to have your elevator pitch nutted out in 10 yeah. or 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And mine would often ramble on and on and on. About 18 months ago, I realized there does not have to be a full stop at the end of that statement. And it's evolving. I can sum it up by saying, yes, I am a mediator, a leadership coach, and an executive coach, or a leadership development specialist. But I'm also a writer. I'm also a speaker. Like you, there's many things that we do, but you don't want to say, "Go and grab your third drink and I'll still tell you what I'm doing." But I don't believe in the need to succinctly in five words say what I do. Yeah. At our age and with the careers we've had,
yeah,
it's possible to open up by saying, I have a portfolio career.
Love that.
I help people. I help people in many ways, or I facilitate programs, discussions, mediation, leadership. I keep all the tabs open, to use a modern phrase.
I love that.
Shut down the sentence now. I don't feel that.
And even that word, that term, portfolio career, I've never heard that before. I love that. That's fantastic.
It's because there's three or four or five things that I do, it is, I have a little portfolio.
Portfolio career. I love it. But it's so true. Like, you know, people have the need to try and summarize themselves up succinctly in 30 seconds, but you don't have to. You can just say, look, I do lots of different things. If you're interested, I can tell you a bit more, or yeah, I can just only tell you what I think you're going to be interested in, and we'll leave the rest for another day. You know, you don't have
to. I'm happy now to flesh it out or keep it tight and succinct.
Yep.
It's whatever the listener's wanting.
Yeah, love it. And I mean, obviously, you know, after 50 years, like me, we've been doing lots of different things. We've gone through interesting journeys. Why do you think that's so important to you, to be able to express yourself and create a life around what you love and the variety of it, and not just pigeonhole yourself to do one thing?
I think because we both and I spent a lot of time working extremely hard, very, very dedicated, very, very committed for others, whether it was another organization, an employer, a board, a shareholder group, investors, colleagues.
Yep.
And I did have a bit of a burnout scenario 4 or 5 years ago. And I never want to have that again, because it was pretty frightening, to be quite honest, and a little bit raw. It was bloody scary. Yep. And I wouldn't wish it upon anyone. And in the second half of life, as we climb the second mountain,
yep,
it has to be on our terms. And we are not 20 anymore, where we're learning the ropes. We've done it all.
Yep.
And to be able to choose when to work, who to work with, who not to work with,
yep,
what projects to take on, what projects to politely say, I'm sorry, this is not a fit for us,
yep,
is something that was difficult a few years ago, but is now very natural, because we've got to be able to just love it, enjoy it, still throw ourselves in 150%, but only on the things that we are very, very passionate about.
Definitely. And so many great points there. Like, you know, it's not that we don't put in the effort. Like I, like you, we'll put in, I'll put in 16-hour days if I'm passionate about something, yeah, even if it's not even, even if it's a little project on the side that I'm not even going to make much money out of. It's just pure passion and drive. I'll put in ridiculous amounts of work and energy just because we love it.
Yeah.
But the other thing that you mentioned that I find is something that really, that I've had to learn how to do really well as well, is to say no. You know, a lot of, over the first 30, 40 years, I used to say yes to everything. And then I would get myself into all these situations and burn out and be running around and making excuses. And I said, this is ridiculous. So I've learned over the years to really be self-aware and to carry the perspective of what I'm doing in terms of the broader sense, and learn to say no, thank you, and this is why, or not why, but, you know, I'll refer you to somebody else, whatever.
And you would have known, as I do now, your gut is right. The 100%. Sirens start ringing early on.
Absolutely. Yeah, you feel it straight. Like, I already know I'm in a conversation and I already know I'm going to say no. It's just about, how am I going to say no? I'm just formulating my excuse after the first five words, because my gut is telling me, nah, that's not for me. Not going
to
happen.
We can say, when you're a graduate and you're in your early stage of the career, you can't. You have to do it. You have to work the incredibly long hours, which we did, and we still do. But to be able to then say, it's not a fit, or this is not for me, we can say that now.
Yeah, perfect. And so if you were going to give some career advice to someone in their early part of their career, what would you say to them?
In the early part of their career, I would say to them that your success isn't purely a function of your marks or your skills. It's also a function of your attitude and motivation. So in any discussion, whether you're already employed and you're looking to progress within a business, or you're interviewing for something new, don't rely on what's on your resume, what you've done, the skills you've developed. You have to show enthusiasm, energy, a positive attitude, and you must come across as being motivated, yep, genuinely motivated to want something.
Yep.
So that's one thing. And I think the second, and I've said this probably 20,000 times in my career at least, is it's know why you are looking before obsessing around what you're looking for.
I like that.
You have to know your story. You have to have your reasons, whether it's a recruiter or a potential employer saying, why us? Why are you looking at the moment?
Yep.
If you can't answer that genuinely,
yep,
it doesn't matter what you're looking for, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
So it's definitely that why before the what.
Yeah. And I think, and just to take that further, I think articulation and preparation of your story is so important. Too many people nowadays either don't even think about that question before they answer it. I've never even considered it, but haven't practiced their response, even if they kind of know what they're thinking about. I think you really have to be a good communicator. You have to be thinking about this stuff and you have to have a down pat in your own mind before you even start sharing that with the world.
And in your own words, you can't, yes, pretend to be somebody else that you think the recruiter wants or you think the hiring manager or HR manager wants. If you can't be you, and that's the motivation, that's the genuine.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I was having this discussion on a recent podcast as well, is that soft skills are now becoming the hard skills. It's changed totally. You know, people can be trained in whatever the particular ins and outs of the process of the job is to most of the time. But the softer skills, the empathy, the understanding of yourself, the passion, the communication, you know, the behavior, how you connect with other team members, this stuff is the hard stuff that people really have to do the work on.
And that's the stuff that's not taught.
No.
There's no HSC course, there's no university course, there's no TAFE course,
yep,
in the soft skill.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really
important. If there was, I would be the dean. I'd love to take it.
Hi, guys. Just a quick message. I'm always on the lookout for engineers in the managed services space across Australia. Support engineers, systems engineers, network engineers, and solution consultants. I only work with the best companies that are going places, really value their staff, have great techs, and offer stacks of training and other benefits, up to $1,000 for successful referrals. Who do you know? Feel free to give me a buzz, 0414-659-800. But right now, back to the conversation. I've just finished reading a really good book. It's called How to Ikigai. Ever, yes, heard of it?
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's the Japanese philosophy. So I'm trying to remember it. There's four parts to this. It's do what you like to do. Do what you're good at. Do what there's a market for. And do what you can be paid for. Something along those lines. And where those four things meet is your sweet spot. And that's what they call your ikigai. And it's such a fantastic concept.
I love the term. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool. Now, do you miss recruiting?
You can never take recruitment out of the guy. You can't.
Absolutely.
I'm always asked to help. I always am referring people on to different organizations, recruitment firms. I referred somebody to you the other day.
Yeah.
It's in you. It's in you forever. And so I don't miss it because it's still there. I wouldn't want to start as a recruiter in 2023. It's very, very, very different,
very
to
different.
1994.
Wow.
I loved when we started that it was all human. It was all genuine. It was relationship build. Today, I wouldn't do as well because it's all cyber sleuthing. It's online sourcing.
Yeah. It's AI now. It's
ChatGPT, letter reading and passing through portals. No, yeah. But the concept of helping people in their careers will never go away.
Yeah, I love that too. I think it's such a fulfilling thing to be able to do when you really help somebody take their next step in their career. It's an incredible change to their life. So I think it's a really important process and important function that we provide. But yes, it's very different these days than it was when I started back in the end of 1999. My Lord. Yeah. How did you actually get started in the industry?
At least when you started, there was already the concept of a job board.
Yeah. You know what? If I remember.
Seek was just starting then.
Seek was maybe just starting, but we still did a lot of work in print.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had our one fax machine in the middle of the office, and everybody would run and share that fax machine. There were couriers on bicycles running through Martin Place. How the world has changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. But just on a side note, how did you actually get into recruiting in the first place?
So that's an interesting story. So when I finished university, I went to work at Club Med in the Bahamas. A bit of a why not? Oh, and when I came back, I thought I better get a job. So I went to a recruitment agency. I went to Hayes Personnel,
yep,
in Chifley Tower in the city. And during the interview, the recruiter, who I'm still in contact with 30 years later, said, "You could do this." And I said, "What is this?" And she said, "Do you want to see what they do?"
Yeah.
And I spent a couple of hours watching the recruiters on the phone and making cold calls. And I said, "I can do this." And I started the next week and fell into recruitment literally. Yeah.
Exactly, like most of us.
The other career decisions have been very conscious, especially the reinvention now for the mediation has been very intentional, very carefully thought through, and there's objectives and there's planning. That was, do you want to watch what they do? Can you start on Monday?
Yep. Very different. But I thank you for that beautiful segue, because I wanted to actually bring that up next, is tell us a little bit more about, you know, your mediation business, how you're going to work with people, how could people find you? Tell us a bit more about, you know, next chapter.
I mentioned Alan before. So it's very interesting. We were both at a similar point in our careers where we were in a position to be able to do this. And it was actually Alan who said to me, "Would you want to do this together?" And I said, "Absolutely." And he had done the mediation accreditation a few months before me. I then did it. And we've spent several months, because we've got to be very careful how we actually plan,
yep,
to work through this and what are we going to say we do? What is our point of difference? How are we approaching this? This is not a negotiation business. And Alan is legally qualified. I'm not a lawyer. Mm. So this is not about litigation. This is truly about approaching. It's a practice of ensuring mutual beneficial outcomes and resolution. So conflict is everywhere. And we're not ambulance chasers at all. So this is about people who realize they need mediation. If they don't want to go to Fair Work, if they don't want to go to court where it can become very expensive through litigation, it's a definitely faster, usually more cost-effective approach. And you find a mediator and both parties sit down with the mediator and share their sides of their stories. The parties then move into individual consultation with the mediator to hear the respective sides. But the mediator facilitates the dialogue. It's not coming up with suggestions for, yep, or forcing an outcome. Yep.
He's not the judge. He's the facilitator.
It's completely, yep, not that. Exactly. Yep. This is impartial facilitation for an outcome, and it can be done maybe in a half a day or 4 hours. It can be a full day. The parties can bring their lawyers in with them if they want to, or they can bring other people through to support if need be. But it's swifter and it's more conducive when you just want to resolve things out of court.
Nice. Yep.
And anybody can find a mediator. You can Google find a mediator. But for us, we are Two Minds, which is twomindsmediation.com.au. Yep. You can find us and contact us there, or you can find me or Alan individually on LinkedIn. But we will be approaching this in a way that is just us. And we're bringing us. We say we are our point of difference, that we're not bringing the classic ex-barrister approach to mediation where there's many years in the legal field. We are bringing experience from working in startups, working in large organizations, working with boards, working with investors and shareholders. And we've been many of the roles or personas that may approach us
exactly
in the workplace conflict sense, or we've been disputing with neighbors, or we've known people who've had injuries at or on the way to work, and what dramas they've gone through when they've had to go through the personal injury lawyer and side of things. Yep. Mediation is a different and easier way to do it.
And that's actually really interesting, because I never would even think of that as a possibility. Like, you know, a lot of the time you're squabbling, you know, with in whichever capacity, you don't think, let's just hire a mediator. Well, let's go see a mediator. It's always, what are the legal processes that we need to follow, or what documents do we need to send, or how do we resolve this some other way? But mediation is a great little...
The outcome will still be a formal heads of agreement. There'll be an outcome that is documented, but it's not documented in the court.
Yeah.
It's documented between the two parties for them to come back to. And that's the feeling of success when you've helped them resolve a dilemma in a mutually beneficial, respectful, and they've come to resolution themselves.
Yeah. And I love that. And I think the part about that is that in that process, both parties will be very happy to commit and continue that solution, because they would have come to it themselves.
So
they've not been told, you have to do this, take it or leave it. That's the law, or that's what you're going to have to do. That's the agreement. But because they've come to it themselves, they're going to be very happy to pursue that path, because they've both come to an agreement.
And you mentioned when you were doing the intro of my bio that I always encourage a psychologically safe space. That's definitely in a coaching or executive coaching capacity, but it's essential in the mediation room as well. It's not a court. There's no one else looking. It's two people with mediator in a psychologically very safe space.
Yeah. That's another term that I'm hearing much more often these days as well. Psychological safety. Now, obviously, it's become something that's more on the top of people's minds when we're talking about relationships.
Mental health is top of most corporate agendas, and ensuring that a workplace is psychologically safe around bullying prevention, with diversity and inclusion, with just even coming out of the pandemic where people were feeling isolated or then pressured to come into hybrid or back to work. The mental health space is critical.
Absolutely.
And so is psychological safety.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Well, Paul, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I've had such a great time. You know, we can delve into a million of these other areas in more detail, but maybe let's bring you back again another time.
We're not waiting another 56 episodes. I'll come back before
Love it. But, you know, really appreciate you coming on the show. I think we've given the audience a lot of great stuff to think about, a lot of great insights, a lot of great strategies to think about how they think about their career and how they think about building their life. And I want to thank you for sharing that with us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Darren.
My pleasure, mate. But as I mentioned, I'm going to put all the links in the show notes, including all the books that we mentioned as well, and all the websites. So everybody, please check out Paul and everything else he does, as well as his mediation. But I always like to give my guests...
And reread Ikigai.
That's right. I'll definitely put that in there as well, because I love that book. But I like to give my guests the last word. So anything that you'd like to leave us with today after our discussion?
It's funny. I had a feeling you might ask something like this. And the other day, somebody said to me, who was looking to leave their job, that it's important to leave before the ugly lights come on. Now, I don't think I've been to a nightclub in about 25 or 30 years, but she was spot on. When it's time to go, you don't want to be asked to leave.
Yeah, you
don't want to stumble out the door, messy, not realizing where you are, totally disheveled. Yeah. You do want to go when the music's great, when you're having a good time and the dance floor is full and you're choosing to go.
I like that.
And I think it's an amazing analogy for this space as well, where as a candidate, well, when are you picking to go?
Yeah.
Why are you going? But coming back to what we said earlier, yes, you need to own your narrative, know your reasons, and be you.
Yeah.
And I know that's not advice for the mediation front, it's for the recruitment piece that you and I both spent decades in. But that would be a tip. Know when to go, own it, and don't wait till it's too late. Yeah. Don't wait till the ugly lights come. I'll bring it back to mediation. And so mediation is the step before it's too late. Yeah. So you don't have to take it to litigation. So maybe that's the ugly lights, but yeah. Mediation is that knowing when to have that very important scenario or session with a mediator to have things resolved and mutually beneficially.
Yeah, I love that. And be a co-creator in the outcome.
Yeah.
That's what I love, because it's, you know, that's the only really environment that you can be a co-creator. Yeah, love it. Well, Paul, really appreciate you coming on the show, mate. Everyone out there, hope you've enjoyed that as much as I have. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you very, very soon for another episode of Soul Searching, the Soul Recruitment Podcast.
Thanks again, Darren.
See you soon. Thanks again, Paul. Pleasure. Thanks again for joining me for another episode of Soul Searching, the Soul Recruitment Podcast. If you'd like to join me as a guest on the show, I would be delighted to collaborate. Feel free to buzz me on 0414 659 800 or email me on darren@soulrecruitment.com.au. I'm always on the lookout for great guests who can share their stories and expertise with my community. But for now though, have a fantastic day, and I'll see you next time.